would say, by their unrighteousness, these Gentiles keep the truth from being known. Now, that's a notion that none of us want to be recognized with. How many of us want to be recognized for keeping the truth about God from either ourselves or from someone else? None of us want to be in that camp of people, but that's exactly what these people are doing. And it still goes on in today's society. Some people have become so used to a certain way that they can't see the truth when it's right in front of them. For example, one reason why I believe, the most prominent reason why atheists will not be led to the truth to believe in God, is because they spend so much of their time trying to defend their own arguments, trying to come up with different ways to present their arguments to other people, and they don't want to know about the truth because they're worried about their own theories and coming up with their own ways to present those theories. They study theory after theory after theory instead of studying the Word of God, and we're never going to come to a knowledge of the truth if we're studying theories, what people think they know, instead of studying what is truth. Atheists do that all the time, and it's hard to lead someone to repentance that lives their life that way. Some of us might be thinking, well, I'm not an atheist, so I'm okay, but let's make some personal application here. Are there things that we know, but we keep them hidden from other people or from ourselves because we don't want to bring them out in the open? Are there things that I struggle with personally that I know that I need to get rid of? I know I need to repent of them, but I don't want to make myself look bad. I don't want to come down the aisle and ask for repentance because I don't want everyone to know what I've been struggling with. Are there things that we struggle with, but we keep them hidden because we don't want other people to know about them? What about family members, friends? We know that they're struggling with other things, but we don't want to go to those people and say, come on, you need to repent. You know you're living in sin because we don't want to expose their sin. We just want to keep it hidden. We don't want to hurt their feelings. There are people out there that are very sensitive towards their feelings. And we may look at those sensitive people and say, I don't want to talk about that person's sin. I don't want to rebuke them or ask them to repent because I don't want to hurt their feelings because it might cause them to leave the church altogether. We cannot sit around and watch sin go unnoticed. The truth is there, and it has to be revealed. It cannot be ignored. Jude verses 21 through 23 gives all three of these different ideas that I just talked about. Look at verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Do everything that you need to do to keep yourself on the straight and narrow and not ignoring the truth. By the way, Jude is talking about false teachers that have come into the church here. He's saying, do everything to keep yourself away from that falsity, away from those lies, and wrapped around the truth. Verse 22, have mercy on those who doubt, he said. There are some people that are going to buy into this teaching, or there are some people that are going to think, you know what, this makes sense. This sounds like it could be true. This sounds like it could be a right teaching. Do I need to believe what Paul told me, or do I need to believe what these people are telling me? And they're torn between these two ideas. Jude said, don't let them be torn. Show them the truth. Don't ignore the fact that they're struggling with these things. And then verse 23, save others, every other camp, by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. The principle is the same, regardless of who you're looking at. We cannot ignore the truth. Whether you're an atheist or a Christian that has sinful behavior that's not being addressed, it cannot be ignored, because if you ignore the truth, God will give us up. We owe it to ourselves and to everyone else to reveal the falsity that's in the lives of other people. Here's another thing that is given here, another reason why when God will give someone up, when they make excuses for their sin. Look at the last part of verse 20 and going down to through verse 24. So they are without excuse. There's your excuse right there. They're making them all, regardless of what's being seen around them, they're making excuses not to believe in the one true God. For although they knew God, They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Excuses. But these people weren't just making excuses and getting away with it. They were actually reaping consequences from their excuses. And there are six specific things that Paul mentions here in these four verses, or these two or three verses, that show the outcomes of their excuses. First of all, they didn't honor, or if you have a New King James, they didn't glorify God. How could they honor or glorify God when they didn't believe in God? There's no way that that could happen. What else happened? They didn't give thanks to God. How could they give thanks to God when they didn't believe that He was in control of everything? They didn't have anything to thank God for. Number three, they became futile in their thinking. What does it mean to become futile in their thinking? It says that what it means is their thinking was worthless. That's what it literally means for their thinking to be futile. It was worthless thinking, even if they had a good thought. Let's say they're riding down the road and they see someone that has a wheel off of their chariot, and they think, man, I'd love to stop and help that person, but I can't. I don't have time. I'm on my way to a meeting. That was a good thought, wasn't it? It was a worthless thought. Because even though it was good, because they had turned themselves away from God and made excuses not to believe in Him. Number four, their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, they had set their minds on their own thinking, on their own worthless thinking. Number five, even though they claim wisdom, they became fools. They think that they have everything figured out. They don't have to listen to nobody else. They don't have to listen to who God is. They don't have to pay attention. That there might be a higher being in control. They think they're so smart. They don't need God. And then number six, they exchange immortal glory for mortal glory, trusting in man rather than God. And I find this one to be interesting because they've decided that they were going to trust in man when man is known by the exact same things that God is known by. You remember what Paul said in verse 19 or verse 20? By the creation of the world, these things have been made. You know God exists by the things that have been made. You can see it. But they chose not to believe in God and not to choose Him. But look at the verses. They exchanged, verse 23, the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. They can see that God exists. They can see that man exists, but they choose to follow man by vision. Why do you choose to neglect God and follow man, mortal man? All of these things happen because they purposefully, in their own hearts, close themselves off to God. Now, what's the lesson for us? Because none of us purposefully close ourselves off from God. So what's the lesson? Well, how many of us make choices and decisions without thinking about the outcome, without thinking about where they're going to end up? Man, we can find a host of examples in the Bible for this, can't we? What about Moses in the wilderness? You remember in Exodus 17 when the children of Israel were crying out for water? They were mad at Moses. They were mad at God, and they wanted to turn around and go back to Egypt. Moses said, God, do something. I'm drowning here. I need some help. God said, I'll tell you what you do. You go over to this rock. Strike that rock with your staff, and water's going to come out, and you give the people all the water that they want. Moses did that, and the people were happy for a while. Fast forward to Numbers chapter 20. The exact same thing is happening. There's no water. The children of Israel are crying out to God again. We need help. What's going on? Moses says, God, I need you again. Help me out again. And God says, okay, I'll do the exact same thing I did before. This time I'm going to put a twist on it. Instead of striking that rock, go speak to that rock, and water will come out. But what does Moses do in Numbers 20? Instead of speaking to the rock, he walks up and he hits it with his staff. Water still comes out, but Moses has consequences. And he doesn't get to enter into the land of Canaan because he struck the rock when he was told to speak to it. Why was Moses striking that rock? It was because God told him to strike it way back when they first entered into the wilderness. He was just not thinking. He wasn't using his mind, and it caused him not to enter the promised land. Go forward to David and Bathsheba. David knew that it was wrong to take Bathsheba for his own. He knew it was wrong. He just wasn't thinking that day. If he would have been on the battlefield fighting with his people as king, like he should have been, instead of at home parlaying on his couch, it might not have ever happened. But he's sitting at home, sees Bathsheba, and it eventually, to make a long story short, leads into all kinds of different sins. And a lot of heartache for David when he just forgot to use his brain and do what he knew was right. You go forward to the time of Jesus, where Jesus tells Peter, "You will deny me 3 times. And when the cock crows, you'll realize that you've denied me 3 times. Peter said, "No, Lord, I'm not going to do it. There's no way I'm going to deny you 3 times. I'm your number one man. I'm your main guy. I'm behind you 100%. Well, it happened, didn't it? And when it happened, Peter ran out and he wept bitterly. If Peter would have been humble and said, "Okay, Lord, I'll try my best not to, but I understand, I believe you." He just wasn't using his brain. And there's a lot of times in our lives where we do things that are wrong, and it's just because we're not using our brains. We know what is right. And if that's the way that we make decisions, it's because we've left God out of the picture. We've decided to live our lives without thinking about God. And that's exactly what these Gentiles have done. They ignore their decision that God is, they ignore the truth that God is there, that He is the one who is supposed to be leading their life, but they're choosing to live it completely the opposite, but they think that it's okay. The challenge for us here is, let's make sure that we are making every decision with God in mind. Don't let God leave your mind. Make sure that He's there right in the forefront. Every decision that you make, would God be okay with this? Would Jesus be pleased with this? Life will turn out a lot better if we live our lives that way. The Bible says in Proverbs 11 and verse 14, where there is no guidance, a people falls. And that's where we are if we choose to live our life without God. We have no guidance. We have no leadership, and we will fall, sure as a world. Here's the third thing. God gives us up when lying is revealed and truth is concealed. Should be the other way around, right? But these people have revealed the lie, and they've concealed the truth. Look at verses 25 through 27. Let me do this first. We'll read these individually because there's two things that I want to look at here. But anytime we are describing lying, it seems to be speech that we're talking about. Someone has told a lie to someone else using their mouth. Well, that's not all 100% false, but it's not 100% true either. We can also live a lie in the way that we go about doing things in regular daily activity. Have you heard somebody say that person's living a lie? Well, what are they talking about? They mean that that person has rejected truth and they've come up with their own way of doing things, their own way of living life. They are living a lie. And that's exactly what these people are doing here. And they're doing it in two ways. First of all, they're doing it in the way that they worship. Their false worship, mortal man, images, the creation rather than the creator. In verse 25, look what it says. Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. It's the exact opposite of what the Thessalonians did in 1 Thessalonians 1:9. If you mark in your Bible beside verse 25, write 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, because look at what Paul commends them for. You have turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. But these people have turned from God to serve idols, the exact opposite of what Paul commends the Thessalonians for. What does this say about our worship today? Well, our worship needs to be done in truth, doesn't it? If we're not worshiping in truth, then we are worshiping a lie, are we not? Turn your Bibles to John chapter 24 very quickly, because I want to make a connection, or John 4, excuse me. I want to make a connection between this and the woman at the well. Jesus comes into Samaria, and he sits down beside this well, and this woman walks up, and he says, give me a drink of water. She's blown away because Jews and Samaritans, they don't converse. They don't deal with one another. And she's thinking, what are you going to draw water with? You're not going to use my utensils because I'm a Samaritan and you're a Jew, and that's just not going to work. My utensils are unclean to you.